suppose it'll be helpful to have your Bible open as we consider the Word of God today. I began a sermon series last Sunday called How We Spend Our Days, and this is based on a short reading by an author named Annie Dillard, who wrote, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour, that one, is what we are doing with our lives." And so I've, using that as a framework, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at how we spend our days, with that being the background theme, and praying that God would use our days well, that we would give ourselves over to Him, that our days would be used well for Him. What I'm going to read today from Mark 4 is a brief parable. A brief parable set within a cluster of parables, all of them being about the kingdom of God that Jesus came to reveal, the kingdom that He came to announce and to embody with His very life. And so He used vivid images, saying the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. He told stories, He gave examples, He used metaphors and similes, and parables are all of these. As someone told me years ago, a parable is a small story with a huge point. It's a small story with a huge point. It's a story that's told, and it's an image that's given to get a clearer picture of the bigger picture. The bigger picture being the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was absolutely mainframe to everything about Jesus. It still is. This is what He came to announce, to bring in, to preach, to model, to open people's eyes and ears, to open their lives to, the kingdom of God. So the parable I'll read uses the image of gardening. Three of the four parables in Mark 4 are about gardening and planting and seeds. So listen to this. A good time of year to hear this parable. Beginning from Mark 4, verse 30. Again, He said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when He was alone with His own disciples, He explained everything. I've said this to you before, to a lot of you before, but I am not a gardener by any stretch of the imagination. I'm more of what you could call a schlepper. I haul stuff, I dig. I weed on occasion, but only if I've double-checked to make sure that this is actually a weed and not something that just looks to me like a weed. I've been down that path before. But even though I'm not a fine-tuned, I don't understand the fine-tuned nature of gardening, I live with somebody who understands a lot more than I do. And I absolutely love what happens in gardens, don't you? Where you take a seed and you plant it in the ground, and it's gone from sight, and then with the mystery of how God does this, the ground gets soaked and it warms up, and that seed begins to sprout, and something begins to grow, and they come up in all kinds of variety, flowers, vegetables, shrubs, bushes, trees. And even though we who tend to gardens have a role in preparing the soil and tilling it and weeding and watering and doing what we can to nourish that soil, we can't make things grow at all. We can't make those seeds open. We can't make them push their way up to the sun. All we can do is to tend to them and then enjoy the wonder of what God does with His creation. My favorite flower has become the zinnia. Any of you grow zinnias? Sid grows zinnias. It is such a joyful flower. Todd, do you have a picture of zinnia? It's such a bright flower, these symmetrical bright petals going out from the center. It's just a happy flower. I look at zinnias and I just smile. The downside about zinnias, though, like many other flowers, it's an annual plant. It's not a perennial. If you plant a bed of zinnias, and after that first frost comes and they all crump, they all die, that's it. Adios. If you're going to have more zinnias, you have to plant a whole other bed next year. And it's beyond me why some plants are annuals and others are more long-lived, like perennials. There's an explanation, I'm sure, but I don't know it. So in case you're wondering what zinnias have to do with Jesus' parable about the mustard seed in the kingdom of God, I learned a few new things in the past week or so about this parable. The first is that the mustard plant that grows in the Middle East, it's an annual. It's not a perennial. It needs replanting every year, like zinnias and so many other flowers and plants. I never realized that before. I thought it just kept growing. A second new thing that I learned is that it's actually a shrub. It's not a tree. Even though both Matthew and Luke describe it as a flowering plant or a plant that grows into a tree, Mark describes it as a shrub, as the largest vegetable in the garden, or the largest of all garden plants. Mark apparently is more on target horticulturally than Matthew and Luke. So if you think about this, it's an annual shrub, and in the course of one season, it grows to be about 10 feet tall. So I brought a ruler today. If I can do this without it collapsing. That's about 10 feet tall. From a seed to this height in one season. An annual. So when you think about that type of growth from a seed to that height and bushy enough for birds to perch in its branches in one season, that's phenomenal growth. It's tremendous change. It's tremendous growth and stunning transformation from a seed to this huge shrub. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what Jesus came to bring and still does bring. Tremendous growth and stunning transformation of life and of life in this world, of individual lives and life together, of our relationships in family and in marriage, with children, with each other, even with people who are very different from us, even people who seem to be opposed to us. All of it comes by way of that mysterious, powerful, amazing growth that God brings us through Jesus Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not just about a little bit of growth here and there, or a little bit of moderate change now and then, maybe an occasional dead branch pruned out of our life. What Jesus spoke about in all four Gospels is about new life, truly new life. The old is gone, the new has come, as Paul put it. About tremendous growth and stunning transformation of the life that he gives, on par with what happens to a mustard seed. Some of you might know the name Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was born 100 years ago this year and died in 1968. As a young man, he was a hard-drinking, hard-partying agnostic who believed in nothing about God. Brilliant and highly educated, he traveled all over the world as a young man. And then while in Rome, he found himself inexorably drawn to Jesus Christ by way of going into cathedrals and sanctuaries and found himself just drawn toward Jesus. And through a long story, he gave his life to Christ and then became a Trappist monk living at Gethsemane Abbey in Kentucky. And he became a prolific writer. One time, some of his old, hard-drinking, hard-partying friends came to the monastery to visit Thomas Merton. And one of the friends said, "Tom, you have really changed from what you used to be." And he said, "No, I've simply become more of who I've always been, who God meant me to be, like a seed, like a mustard seed destined to become this towering shrub. If only the growth happens, if only the seed is planted and then nourished and responds to the heat of the soil and the passing of the sun and the amazing ways that God transforms a tiny planted seed into flowers, shrubs, and bushes. The amazing way he transforms people into new creations from the inside out. This is what the kingdom of God is about. About tremendous growth and stunning transformation, person by person by person, throughout the world. I have seen more of this type of growth and transformation in this church in the past couple of years than I saw or experienced in the previous 20 or so years of ministry. Happening here, among us. New life. Totally transformed lives. People moved from being curious observers and occasional churchgoers to becoming actively involved with the living Christ. New life. I've seen, some of you have seen, the lights come on for people. Where it's no longer just academic. Now it's heartfelt, a heartfelt, excited commitment to Jesus Christ. Where they are literally hungry for God's Word. And hungry to be in worship, and hungry to be in Bible study, to grow. And where prayer life has moved from being a little ritual out on the edge, something we ought to do before something begins, to being central to daily life. And where talk about God and Jesus doesn't fit into that old mantra of don't talk religion politics. But it becomes looking for an opportunity to talk about what God is doing in my life right now. This is happening here among us. This is amazing. This is God at work. This is the kingdom of God here now among us and going out through the world. We're living into this parable of Jesus. And there is so much more growth yet to come. But he is doing it here. Which leads back to that other thing about the mustard plant that I didn't know before. About it being an annual, not a perennial. Here's what a New Testament scholar, Lamar Williamson, wrote about this. Mustard is an annual plant. Its perpetuation depends on renewed sowing, and its perennial promise depends on the life God gives to the seed. Let me read that again. Mustard is an annual plant. Its perpetuation depends upon renewed sowing, and its perennial promise depends on the life God gives to the seed. Its perennial promise. That's what we call God's covenant promise. Seeds of new life sown to us. The promise of eternal life, the promise of new life through Jesus Christ. One of the most often quoted verses about this that captures it succinctly is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish like an annual plant, but will have eternal life, perennial life." This is perennial life in the kingdom. This is a promise that is given to us by the King of all promises, who sows his seeds of new life into us, not in theory, but in active reality, and brings real change. So here's how the Apostle Peter put it in his first letter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. Perennial. But, and here's our challenge, there needs to be continued and renewed sowing and tending. For instance, a childhood or adolescent encounter with the living Christ, or an adult one for that matter, or the encounters with Jesus that we are praying will happen for our young people as they go to CHIC this summer, this huge Christian youth encounter. As powerful and real and life-changing as those encounters can be and are, if they are not nurtured and nourished and tended, like the watering of plants in the summer. And if new seed is not planted for the perpetuation of growth, for further new growth, like we need to do with annuals, then it's all just for a season. It can just be for a season, this new growth. Or something that fades into memory as something that once was. Like, remember when we used to have that garden over here? Remember when Jesus moved so powerfully in my life? Remember when He was powerfully at work in the church? But there's no new growth. There's no flourishing. Maybe there's not even any joy in what Jesus is doing right now. There needs to be continued nourishing and tending and new seeds planted through worship and prayer and Bible study, through our life together, to be growing, to be yielding ourselves to the Son of God shining on us. So may we not just cling to the memory of last year's garden, or to that long ago experience with Jesus that was so rich and powerful, but now it is a long time back. Or to how God used to be at work in the church. Instead, let's poise our lives day by day. Let's step up our daily practices. Let's be intentional about how we spend our days. Because days roll into weeks, and years and decades and become how we spend our lives. Let's spend our days and our lives opening ourselves to the wonder and the power of Jesus, who grows new things all the time, like a well-watered garden, growing us, to quote Thomas Merton, to be more of who we were made to be. So I'll close with this. Some of you, quite a few of you, use the devotional book Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And she writes as if it is Jesus speaking to us. And I was really caught by the reading from yesterday. I'll close with this and then we'll pray. Listen to this as Jesus speaking a word into your life. I'm creating something new in you. A bubbling spring of joy that spills over into others' lives. Do not mistake this joy for your own or try to take credit for it in any way. Instead, watch in delight as my Spirit flows through you to bless others. Let yourself become a reservoir of the Spirit's fruit. Lord Jesus, we come to you and ask that you would grow us more and more. That we would flourish like being in a well-watered garden. Not just briefly like annuals, but with this perennial growth. Perennial growth with the beauty of annuals. Fresh growth day by day by day, all by your grace. We lay ourselves in your hands and pray for your will to be done and for your Spirit to move powerfully upon us and through us. We pray this in your name. Amen.